meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Jim Brewer is our guest tonight. Jim, lean up on the microphone there, would you please?
There we go.
Jim, you know from Saturday Night Live, 4 years on Saturday Night Live, and movies, television, CDs, he's done some guest conducting, I think. He's quite the Renaissance man. And before we get into Jim, let's talk about me.
How unusual.
I'm going to give everyone three guesses.
First of all, everyone listen to me.
Three categories. I want you guys to guess what time I went to bed last night. No dentistry. What time I went to bed?
What time you got up?
What time I got picked up?
And
how many morning radio shows I did after I got picked up?
May I try?
Go ahead.
Let's see. Sleep 2:30.
Went to bed at 2:30.
Yes.
No, 2:00.
Okay.
All right.
Pick up 3:15.
That's you're right on with the 3:15.
Radio stations 22.
20.
See, I know what you went through.
I know because I told you last night 10 times.
You did not.
All right, 20
morning
shows.
I could tell what was coming for you. And I talked to your assistant.
Okay. Jim Brewer, everybody.
No, I knew what was coming for
you. Oh, my God.
They don't make you sit down at 3 in the morning unless you're near 20 stations.
Oh.
And how was Boomer and the Nudge?
Drop trowel. I sat there and I thought, how long before somebody says drop trowel? That's the only way I could get entertained. I had to count. It was like 19 minutes before the first guy said drop trowel, blah, 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 blah.
You must have just died.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do for the next 4 hours because it's no fun to say, when is the next time one of these morning show guys is going to yell out drop trowel? But drop trowel. All right, Jim, let's talk about Jim Brewer, everybody. I've never met Jim Brewer, and I know every B/C comedian in this business. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I'm a C type comedian myself. I mean, what I'm saying is I don't hang around with Robin Williams, but I've met all the Andy Dicks.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all the middle level stuff.
All the middle level guys.
Well, they've all done crank yankers.
Crank yankers, or somebody knows somebody. But Jim Brewer, I've never come across. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
I don't know. We just never kind of... I think we crossed paths. Maybe we saw each other or something, but...
Yeah, but we never made a love connection.
High in an alleyway or a party or something like that.
The night is young. The CD is coming out on September 24th, and it's off of your Comedy Central special last year.
That's the DVD.
Oh, that's the DVD. Ooh.
The CD is completely different.
Oh, good.
CDs get all the stuff I can't do on TV.
Well, are we going to... I guess we'll hear something off that tonight? And we'll snippets off that?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Good times. Any appearances or anything? Ah, yes. Oh, the tour. Yeah, the Lighten Up Tour. That's Los Angeles at the House of Blues on the 25th, and October 4th in Anaheim at the House of Blues in Vegas. Let me guess. House of Blues,
no.
October...
Who would have thought?
October 5th. It's pretty good. I didn't know they did comedians at the House of Blues like
once
out
in a
here.
While they will.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Why don't
we'll
do
see.
Our thing at House of Blues sometime in Vegas?
What is our thing?
We stand
Drew?
Up and answer questions.
Yeah, because no one wants us. That's
they have
cool people over there. All right. So should we go to the phones?
Yeah.
Anything?
See who's rocking.
All right. Let's talk to Tasha, who's 27. Tasha.
Men have Viagra, and what is there out there for women? Because, I mean, I'm getting close to my, supposed sexual peak, and I don't even feel like I'm, wanting to. I'm not enjoying it,
All right, first of all, Viagra for men has nothing to do with sex drive.
Okay.
It merely causes their penis to get and stay hard.
Okay.
Period. Okay.
Yeah, but that can lead you.
But it doesn't. It doesn't.
It just, doesn't?
No.
You don't ever have a boner remind you to beat off? Like you're just sitting around and it's like the dog scratching at the door. Oh, okay, boy. Oh, yeah, what time is it? Oh, okay, bye.
But here's that Viagra. You can beat off, ejaculate, and you'll still have your boner. That's what Viagra does for you.
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
So,
to keep reminding you?
Can't do anything later.
Do it again.
But Tasha, did you lose your sex drive? You used to have it, now it's no longer?
Well, you know, I have kids, and I've been in a relationship almost 4 years, and we had really rocky times, and we were going to break it off.
All right, well, that's where your sex drive has gone, is in the relationship problems.
Yeah, and he stopped, like, drinking, and I decided, we're going to try to make it work because he wanted to. You know, he stopped.
Is he working a program right now?
No, he's doing really good. He wasn't like, every day. It's just like when he would, it was like, he couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. And he would get to be a real jerk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not like abusive or anything like that, but he was just not a nice person. And then the next day he'd be like, I don't remember that, And
All right. So it's not her libido, so no, she's not into this guy.
Well, not the into, just the relationship is having problems, and it shuts you down.
He is a great guy, and, I would like to get, the full feeling back, because we do have two boys together.
Well, then get some therapy, the two of you, get some couples.
Well, we are going to counseling.
All right, well, then bring up the sex drive issue and negotiate and talk about what's going on in that part of your relationship and how you might find some more meaningful connection there.
Women, it's like they have to like you to have sex with you.
I know, it's shocking. I know. Jim's like offended by it.
I was saying, I think it was last night, that guys would, I would rather have sex with someone I don't like. You know what I mean? A little payback time.
Kind of a spite one.
Yeah, the vengeance. Yeah.
I've done that many times.
Yeah.
I'll show
Wipe
you.
That smile off your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of.
Go to work tomorrow.
There's nothing wrong with that one. You know what I mean?
For men, yeah.
I mean, for men, like
the spite humpers.
Actually, there's some women that do that too. The ones that like strippers and stuff would be into that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry, but,
didn't tip you enough.
But you're not going to hate one of those.
Take you down.
What do you think the average guy? How do you think the average guy would answer this? There's two women. They're equally attractive. He works with both of them. One of them is kind of a bitch who bosses him around. The other one is nice and friendly and congenial. He gets to have sex one time with one of them. You're going with the bitch, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if...
Wear her little badge when you're done.
That's right. That's right.
Wear her red badge. She gets the red one.
Women, that's 95% of men, right?
But I don't think it's because of attraction. It's because guys always sort of want to get away with things. You know what I mean? You don't feel so bad.
It's sort of like that gazelle you can't catch, too.
Whatever it is.
Like she's out of your league.
Yeah, we'd like to get the one that that we don't...
Not if you have to work for it. Guys aren't interested in working for anything.
I've seen guys struggle to 5, 6 in the morning for a week straight. Depends on the girl, sure.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Yeah. Drew, please. How dare you? How dare you insult our guest?
You got all mad at me. He's like, whatever.
Carrie?
Smoking brew.
Yeah? Hi.
You're 20. What's up?
Yes, I have a question. Okay, birth control, it makes your eggs not release, right?
Makes your eggs not what?
Release. That's correct. That is right.
Okay, so therefore... Would girls taking birth control, would they go through menopause later in life?
No. Has no impact on that.
No?
None.
Why not?
Okay. Just doesn't.
Yeah, why?
Doesn't affect them.
Oh. Hey, turn your radio down.
My radio? Sorry.
My radio.
Don't be a fool, you idiot!
How come we wouldn't go through menopause later in life?
Because that's a genetically predetermined phenomenon, and that happens when it happens.
Why does egg release have to do with menopause in your mind, Carrie?
I have no idea. I was just discussing it with my coworkers, and we didn't know.
It's not like you have only a certain number of eggs.
Where do you guys
use them up?
Where are you guys working?
We're working at Employers Unity.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
What is that?
We process unemployment hearings.
Oh, man, that's got to suck.
It's not that bad.
Well, who do you get coming through there? Unemployed people?
Yeah.
No.
No. Why? What makes you say that?
Well, I don't know. You may be dealing with attorneys or something like that. You're dealing with the actual unemployed people?
No, we're dealing with it. We deal with the companies, not the individual people.
Oh, I see. There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Good times.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. I like seeing people have crappy jobs. I like to walk around and look at people and their jobs and go, oh, man, I'm so glad I'm not doing that. You guys do that?
I do that every
Jim,
day.
You do that, right?
Every day.
All you got to do is walk.
I just got to show up for my gig. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't believe
it. So I got to wait all day for that one spot at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, man, you just like walk through the airport and you go, no, Cinnabon, nope, don't want to do that. Nope, you guys, security, nope, glad I'm not doing that. It's nice. It's refreshing. Right?
I'm just thinking about how that Cinnabon just pisses me off.
Because they pump that smell all through the airport.
It's addicting.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's really. It's at the point where you don't even know it. Like, you just walk in the airport.
Yes,
you're like,
I'm hungry,
I could go for a Danish.
Yeah.
And you're like, the guy next to you goes, I've never seen you eat a Danish in your whole life. What do you mean? I love Danish.
Let me get extra icing.
Oh, my God.
Extra icing.
Yeah, that could be dangerous. You know what's I realized here's all life is, really. I was at the airport yesterday, and I figured it out. You walk through the airport, and you go, I'm glad I don't do that, glad I don't do that, glad I don't do that. Then you walk into that part where the magazines are, and they're all the hot chicks on the cover of the magazines. You go, oh, man, I wish I could do her. I wish I could do her. Who's she doing? And I wish I could do her. And why am I not doing that? That's it. It's right down the middle. It's like, I'm glad I'm not doing that. Why am I not doing this?
I want to get baked with you.
Yeah, we're going to get stoned.
We got some serious issues to talk about.
We're going to the alley. We may create our own alley. Is there an alley around here, Drew?
They've created one for you.
All right, we'll go in the alley.
We'll go in the alley.
Nick?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah, I'm 23.
What's up?
Well, I got married about almost 6 months ago now to a 21-year-old who I've been with for almost a year now. And she's 8.5 months pregnant. Almost 9 months pregnant, actually. She's about 37 weeks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And she's hit me in the past before, and she's emotionally and physically abusive. And Sunday, Monday, Tuesday were awful. Monday, she ripped my shirt off me on my way out the door to work.
Why?
Pansy.
Why?
And then
why?
She just loses control. She gets upset, and I try to talk to her, and she just can't calm down, and she can't talk, and she starts hitting, and she starts
grabbing.
Well,
your wife was traumatized severely as a child, right?
Yes, she was.
What happened to her?
Her parents, they never just argued. They would yell, and they would hit. When she would get upset like this as a kid, when she would lose control, they'd take her, and they'd just put her in the shower and turn the shower on her.
Mm. All right. Well, she absolutely needs some treatment, Nick. She's going to start doing this to your kid.
Well, and that's what I'm afraid of. I told her, right now I'm separated from her. As of Tuesday,
right.
I'm separated from her.
Get call Child Protective Services, get social services involved, get a therapist for her, get this going.
Even before the baby's not even born
Listen,
yet.
Listen, there's already a domestic violence issue. This needs to be reported such as it is.
Oh, well, please. I'll laugh you right out of the precinct.
Afraid so.
All right. No, that's fine. Hey, Nick?
Yeah.
What's her nationality?
Her nationality? She's just Anglo-Saxon. She's a white chick.
Aha!
Where were her ancestors from?
I have no idea. I'd probably guess Dutch, English, something.
The Dutch. Some of those violent people. Those
animals.
Yeah.
Savages.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dutch. But, Dutch or no. What? Flying Dutchman.
Flying Dutchman.
You don't hear about the flying Spaniard.
No.
No, he's the Dutchman.
Flying Brazilian.
That's right. Nick?
My question is, I'm separated from her right now. And I told her she needs to make an appointment to get help that I want to go to. Do I need to? Do I go back with her right now, or do I wait till she starts getting help? I don't know. I mean, she's she tells me to leave. She keeps telling me she wanted me to leave. When I do leave, then she tells me she wants me back.
Oh boy, you got a big problem here. So, go get a book. There's a book out there called "I Hate You, Don't Leave Me."
And hit her with it.
Go get that book. Read it. Read the book. Whether you go back or not,
I laughed at my bad joke.
There's going to be lots of chaos. It doesn't really matter much. You know, just go to the most peaceable, find the most peaceable solution, but she's going to need lots of people involved.
Let me ask a couple of questions. First off, not a bad thing for a woman to smack you once in a while because...
I dated a chick like that.
Did she?
Yes.
What? I got belted by a woman, too. It was good.
Scratch, gnaw, throw my stuff.
Did she apologize afterward or like the next day?
No,
I don't think. No, I don't remember her apologizing.
See, for me, all my relationships, whoever I'm with, they walk around in a constant state of dissatisfaction with my actions. Drew, you know what I'm talking about. women are just, you constantly feel like you're behind a little bit.
I'm just shocked that someone would feel that way. I can't understand.
You're the same way with your wife. It's a constant state of you're not living up to what they need you
never,
to do.
Never, ever, ever.
Yeah, you have some good days. Yeah. You put together a good couple of days once
good
in a while.
Good hours.
Yeah, but in general, you're not quite living up to what they need you to live up to.
I'm going to
that's
have
fine.
To.
But if they whacked you just once in a while, just punch you right in the face like once a month, they'd be constantly apologizing to you.
So you're better than all that negativity. The
I'd
rest
say
of
the best. The best.
I would take a pop shot over a month.
Most
of
guys would.
Mental abuse.
Yeah. Just
of
torment.
What's the matter? Nothing.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. You're not cutting it.
Why am I going to say it? I just always talk about it, and just it's great for a day or two, and then you just right back to normal.
You don't listen anyway.
You never listen.
Right.
What do we always argue about?
A sock in a gut, in the gut, and it's not like women hit that hard. You know, it's not like when your buddy's hitting
you.
You
got a good point, man. Yeah, so let them take a pop shot, get the anger out.
Tell you, the best thing that ever happened to me was.
Oh, God. That's the best thing that ever happened to you.
Well, when I went, I mean, relationship-wise, I went to play. I was living with that stripper from England in North Hollywood like 12 years ago. And I told her, I used to play in a Sunday baseball, softball league. And I told her I was going out to play softball. And then afterward, I was taking her out, going to a movie, going out to eat. The game got canceled, so we went out drinking. And I got home loaded at like, it was like 12:30 or something at night. I said I was coming home at like 5 in the afternoon. I was drunk.
You got like a triple that day. Missing two runs. You had to celebrate.
No, we didn't play. That was the whole thing. We just, the game got canceled. So we decided to go out and have a few drinks. And next thing you know, and I passed out on the bed. I was still in my uniform and cleats and everything. And she told me to stand up. And I knew I was going to get a shot. I did it gladly because I would have just been torment for the rest of the week. She said, stand up. And I stood up at the end of the bench. She whacked me, went right in the face, and went right back down. And on the way down, I was thinking, good. because I'm drunk, and that was nothing. And I just flapped down. And then all
tomorrow's a clean slate.
All she did was apologize for the next week. It's great. It was much better. A guy should encourage that. That's what I'm saying. You should stick your chin out and dare
take
him to
shot.
Hit you.
That's take right. a shot. What are you waiting for?
Trevor?
What's up, guys?
You're 19?
Hey, yeah.
What's
one
up?
Thing I have to mention this. About a month ago, I was stoned out of my mind, flipping through the channels about 2 o'clock in the night. And who pops up on the TV screen is Dr. Drew lecturing a bunch of college students about sex.
Oh, and no, it was in Washington, D.C.,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That was hilarious. I have to admit, that stunned me for a little bit.
What was so stunning about that? We were
no one was participating, really.
What?
No one was participating. They were just standing there, and you were speaking, and
I was giving a lecture.
Yeah, but no one was really, taking what you were saying.
Don't people lecture back, Drew, when you lecture?
Yeah. Asshole. How could you tell? It went just fine, actually.
Hey, what about when you go see the opera and no one participates? no one stands up and starts singing in the audience?
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Don't diss me, man.
All right, but don't be a jackass.
Oh,
Dr.
come on.
Drew.
You go on Howard Stern, you want to be a big badass, but you can't do it now.
What are you talking about?
No, I like you, Adam. Hey, Jim.
Hey, listen. Trevor?
Yeah.
You liking me means nothing to me. Nothing.
You make your millions? You don't even make a million. First of all, I don't care about you, Adam. You do a little Loveline show for
You got another question, weirdo?
Bring it up.
Hurry up. Hurry up.
Bring it
out of my face right now. Push, you nasty thing.
We want to puke.
And you're a big shot when you want to go on the
That's true.
Show. You're a big shot, right?
What do you mean when I want to go on the Howard Stern show? He calls me and asks me to fill in when Artie goes out of town once a month.
Fill in. So don't tell me about your failed TV shows out there.
Wow.
All your,
what failed TV shows? I don't have any failed TV shows.
Right?
They're all going down the tubes. We're starting on 20 new episodes of Crank Yankers. I did it yesterday.
Unfortunately, without your help, because you have participants of all other phony phone calls. Participating in your show.
I don't think this dude
no,
likes you.
I know, but
he's like a sore tooth. It's like you got to keep.
I don't mind if he doesn't like me, but he's got to hit on something eventually.
We're waiting for him to get traction here.
Yeah.
He's not even getting any traction even.
Keep going, Trevor. What are you saying? Our calls on. You're saying our Crank Yanker calls aren't calls that we've done?
No, I hear Jim, what's his last name?
Florentine.
Yeah. He's on. I hear that Crank show on Howard.
I sat next to Jim Florentine for 4 hours yesterday while he did Crank phone calls for us.
I mean, I hear the same, the Crank on another show. Is that original for your show, or?
Yeah, they're all original.
All right. I mean, I hear him on Howard Stern show.
Jim plays him on Howard Stern.
I'm not dissing you, man. You're a great guy, but can I ask
I
Jim
tell.
A question?
Nah.
I'm a big. Oh,
all
okay.
right, hurry. Go ahead.
Jim.
Yeah.
Tamara Davis directed probably the best stoner movie of all time, 1998, Half Baked.
Okay.
Are you people stoned when you make that movie? Can you tell me the truth?
I wasn't. I swear to God, I was stoned for one scene. It was by accident.
Why?
Because that was my first movie, man. I was scared. I was like, man, I gotta act really hard.
You've been in a movie since, though. You've been huh? safe up, right?
What's
been
that?
In a movie since?
Say it again?
Have you been in a movie since?
Have I been in a movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a small part in this movie, Dick.
Oh, shut up, Trevor. What's he want? And listen, hold on a second. Trevor, you're calling from Phoenix, not New York. Just drop the attitude, please, you young jackass.
Was I in the attack line next?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
It sounded like he was
starting to warm up.
He like hooked me up with, hey, Jim, I like you. And then
he's
all of a sudden,
one of those guys that wonders why everyone is such assholes to him. Why people treat him like crap.
Wow.
He's
a real stoner. He's not a stoner.
Well, here, that's
true.
Mellow,
he should, maybe he should get
there. You know what? It strikes me, these usually folks that listen to Howard Stern.
He's angry, that dude.
I got no problem with Howard Stern, but people mistake sort of attitude for a sense of humor.
Yeah.
They all become like the jerky boys.
Yes.
Like, hey, tough guy, hey, oh, yeah. And it's like, okay, that's all great, but eventually you have to say something funny.
Yeah, where's the traction? It's like, yeah.
Hey, you know, that man show's, hey, I just sat with Comedy Central 2 days ago and they begged me to do the man show for another season and they threw all kinds of money at me. The show's doing great. Every goddamn show I'm doing is doing great. What's his thing? It's, hey, you go on Stern like you're a big man. What the hell's he talking about? Stern calls once every 2 months and wants me to do the show.
He probably wears, you know, he's stuck his stock in Sears and stuff. He's got to hear it from the crew and he's a little angry.
From Phoenix, though. The hell's that going to work?
Oh, yeah, you
got the sun, the desert. Relax.
Yeah, that might happen to you, too, if you lived in Phoenix. You know?
118
I
degrees.
Like Phoenix.
No, you don't. Nobody likes Phoenix.
I guess when I visit.
When you're inside. Indoors.
Jim Brewer is our guest tonight. Now, I say Brewer, but is it like Brewer?
Brewer.
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 Yeah, because it's not normally, it's not spelled how a Brewer is spelled, but it's like Brewer.
It's Brewer.
Jim Brewer.
So you like the end of the night? Brewer.
Is our guest tonight. We're going to
hear
something off his CD. I think Anderson may be looking through it and seeing what he can fix up and what's clear. And he's going to say something.
I have no clue. Stuff
no clue. That. No clue. A lot of profanity
in there. We'll talk to Jim.
It's like stories I can't do on TV.
Oh, okay. You know. Well, maybe too dirty. Smoking Brew is the name of the CD. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is the Mango from the Saturday Night to the Live, and you did listen to the Love Line with the Adam Carolla sauce and the Drew Man with the ass.
No, you can't have a man. No mango for you.
Yeah, drop trap.
Drop trap.
That's where are them juggies? Yeah, you got them with you? Where are they?
How many times have we asked that?
Where are the juggies? They're all getting. I'm. What time is it? I'm at 4 o'clock. I'm hoping they're asleep. They could be hopped up on coke with some Arab guys, but they probably passed out by now.
What's the Arab guys?
What is that? Arab guy? Oh, yeah. Jim Brewer is our guest tonight. Jim's got himself a comedy CD out called Smoke and Brew, and got some dates coming up here. He's going to be at the House of Blues, all of them, on the 25th. He's in L.A., and that's September. And October 4th, Anaheim, October 5th, Las Vegas. And, Jim, what, 4 years on SNL?
Yes.
Let's see.
Actually, it was like three. It was three.
Three.
It was 95, 98. It was part of the new cast.
Who was, who came in when you came in?
Sherry O'Terry, Molly Shannon, Mark McKinney, Will Ferrell.
This guy's all, that was all your class, as it
were. We were the new class.
And,
we were the 95 class. Norm MacDonald was like the veteran.
How'd you get along with Norm?
Norm was my favorite cast member. Yeah. He was the only guy. This is when I knew Norm was the only guy. You know when you get a job, and like they give you the big speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we expect this from you. Then go out there and do it.
And then as soon as you're done, you get the one guy, hey, listen, well, he said, forget that. Here's how it goes down. Mm-hmm. That was like, Norm was that guy in the cast. He, you know, because Mondays we'd pitch our ideas to a host. I remember I had one season under my belt. You know, I'm starting to buy new clothes, get a car. I got a goat thing, and Tom Hanks.
Got a goat
thing. Yeah. Tom Hanks. I'm flipping out. This is the first real big star on here. And you can tell we were all starstruck. And Sherry O'Terry's like, I'm going to just cheerleader. She pitches her thing. Everyone's pulling out their big cannons. I'm going to do Mary Catherine Gallagher. I'm going to do the goat. And Norm's like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do the guy who poops his pants. You're like the guy, you're like, ah, I got poop in my pants. Yeah, man. Yeah, that guy. There's a story I can't tell it now. I did on the thing there, and he, we're in a press conference.
It's on the CD.
Did you see him? Did you see him on Dennis on Miller?
There. Wait, what did he say?
Nothing.
On that thing there. Yeah, I'm guessing you're referring CD, to the CD. That's
you see him on
not
Dennis
in this
Miller?
Room.
No.
By far, Norm was the funniest guy on the show. He just said it the way it was, and if he didn't like it,
right.
Even told Lennon, don't put me in sketches.
Right.
I gotta do an update. Don't put me in a little gay sketch in the background.
Yeah,
I like Norm.
Norm, I know a little bit, and he's authentically a strange guy. I mean,
he's a strange bird.
It's not an act. I mean, the guy is a gambling.
But he
problem.
Tells you right up. Yeah,
yeah. And I've never. I don't know any. I mean, women like him, but I don't know any women that like him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like him.
They're the spite ones.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. I think he's a misogynist, but he definitely seems to get along with them. I don't think he has
they
a lot
They think
of...
he's hot. Every chick that meets him is like, oh, God, look me up with Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you sure? Because don't come to me after I do.
No, I want to.
Yeah, he's great.
Bro.
Big gambler. I love it when he does the younger Burt Reynolds, the smoking the bandit Burt Reynolds. You ever see that?
Yep.
He just sits there with a bad fake mustache.
Yeah, where you say that, Jeff?
Yeah.
He dresses in the smoking the bandit outfit, and he just sort of stands there, and he does that chewing motion, you know? Yeah. He doesn't really say anything. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who decided to do that.
He did.
17 years after smoking the bandit,
he did. That's why he's genius, man.
I don't know where he is though.
He's
where
to come out. He used to. I don't know. He used to come out and warm up the shows.
Oh, really?
At Saturday Night Live, and he'd go. I would go up and try to kill. I'd just try to blow the place out the water. Give him my A material for 10 minutes.
Would you pull the goat boy out?
So I'd pull the goat. All the big guns are coming out. Norm would come out and he'd go. Yeah, I'm working on a new impression. And he'd go, here's, Johnny Carson, bringing out a famous act. Okay, anyway. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring out, I'm a big famous guy. I need some work on that.
Piece of act.
Yeah, I just miss Norm.
Care. I like him.
I gotta get Norm back on to something. Amy? Or maybe off of something. Amy, you're 22, but hold on a second. I was reading the screen.
At least he doesn't hide it.
No, he's got problems. Jordan?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yep.
You had sex for the first time?
Yeah.
When?
I had sex about a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I believe him.
Yeah.
See?
And he lasted for 1 minute?
Yep.
I believe that, too.
I don't know if it's pleasing for the girl or not, you know?
Don't worry about it. Not at this stage. Nothing you do first time out is going to be particularly pleasing for her.
Was it her first?
No, it wasn't her first.
Right.
It's like her second or third.
Still, she got a ways to go before it becomes actually.
But is that normal though? Or?
Well, that's first time out. Most guys are rather rapid or have trouble getting an erection. It's real.
There's always some trouble that runs the spectrum of too long or too quick or not at all. But there's always something.
That's scary.
Go ahead and get a relationship going with her, and things will work themselves out.
Yeah. Is she your girlfriend, Jordan?
Yeah, she's my girlfriend.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I mean. Is it okay for her to get angry at me? Should I just let that go? Or?
Did she get angry at you?
No, she just like, well, kind of, you know, because she didn't get any pleasure out of it.
Well, what about oral sex?
No, we haven't tried that yet.
All right.
What do you mean she got angry?
Yeah.
That's weird.
What do you mean, Jordan?
Well, I mean, she didn't get angry, but she just, you know, she wasn't very pleased about it, you know.
What'd she say?
She's like, well, you know, I didn't get any pleasure out of that, so, you know, I don't know if we should do this again.
Okay, now it's about me.
Yeah, sorry, Jordan.
That's BS.
And who's your buddy with tuberculosis who's breathing in the background?
Oh, that's me.
Oh, okay.
I'm a huge fan of the show. I've been listening since sixth grade.
Thanks, buddy.
He's all busy. All right, but
listen, buddy, you gotta get an inhaler before you get on the other line.
All right. I love your show, man.
Thanks, buddy. Listen, you jack-offs. If you're going to call the show and have your buddy on the second line, don't have him making love to the receiver.
Swallowing it.
He's just hanging out. That's what he said. It's really him. It's really them, man.
And what's the guy doing? Beating arm? Like,
oh, he's just very excited hearing your voice.
He's excited,
Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but now, I don't know if they don't make phones this way anymore, but back in the day, we used to just unscrew the receiver.
Or you'd put a handkerchief over the... Remember that old trip?
Yeah, but you'd put your hand on it. You'd listen. You don't need... See, like, remember the old school phones? You could physically unscrew thing and pop that thing
still
out?
Still had a wire, too,
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. So I don't believe that kid, right?
No, ridiculous. I believe he's a virgin. Not a virgin, though. I got not a virgin from his voice.
I don't know, Drew. He may be a virgin.
You can tell right in the voice.
He may be a virgin. And he's, you know, guys who get laid don't make as many prank calls. By the way, that's when the prank calling ends for guys.
That's why all you and all your comedic buddies.
That's why we're still doing
all the crazy things.
Ends. Let me see. Jordan?
Right, yeah.
Hey there. Listen, you're a virgin, yes?
No.
Seriously?
No, I'm not.
He's a one-timer.
Yeah, one-timer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right. See, we can tell the sound of a guy's voice who's a virgin and a guy who's getting laid a lot. But the one-time guys, it's hard because it's the crossover voice. All right, let's talk to
still cracks.
Amy. And by the way, we know it's a bogus call because no woman says, I'm angry.
I'm angry and I'm not satisfied, so we shouldn't do this anymore.
Right.
What was that?
No, they think that after every lovemaking session, but they don't verbalize it.
And on. That's right.
Amy?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I don't know necessarily where to start. I've been in a relationship, committed relationship, for about 2 years, and we decided to have some fun, and we brought, a girl I was attracted to into the relationship and had her a couple times, and then her boyfriend wanted to join us, so we had him in the relationship.
Wow.
And, of course, we had unprotected sex, and about 10 days ago, I had a nice, wonderful sore in the area between my anus and my vagina, and I decided to go to the doctor because I have regular physicals. In May, I had a full STD check, and I tested positive for herpes.
What do you mean you tested positive? What test did they give you?
Well, what they did is they more or less scraped the cells.
Okay, all right.
She opened up and looked on my cervix.
All right, that's how you do it. Okay.
But ultimately, I started the medicine. I'm on Valtrex now, and I just need to know how to approach this couple that we've been with. I mean, I don't want to point fingers, and I don't want to, because the blame's on myself for more or less having unprotected sex with them. But, I mean, I need to know more or less how to approach them and how I should handle my sex life in the future.
I think you have a sort of ethical obligation, and it's be from a medical standpoint, definitely important that they know that they have this thing.
You think they don't know?
Well, sometimes women don't know. Some women carry and don't know. But the point is, your obligation.
Would you get it from the woman or from the guy, though?
Well, that's what I want to kind of know, too, is, I mean, the clinician, I guess is her name, I don't know, the lady I talked to at the clinic said that people carry it and they don't know.
That's right, women.
They have their first outbreak.
Not their first outbreak. They have outbreaks and sort of miss them.
Okay.
How do you miss that?
Because sometimes they're not that severe, or they're inside the vagina, they're not on the outside.
Yeah, but how does the woman give it to the other woman on her vagina?
Well, it's in the between Anusburg and
Vaginaville.
Yeah,
but
and maybe it was on somebody's hands. You see what I'm
really?
Saying?
Really?
Wow! Can pass through it like that?
What was going on? Did her vagina get near your vagina?
Well, I was fisted. But there, I mean, that could be something also. But
hold on. What happened to you?
I got to laugh and beat off. Hold on.
I didn't think this stuff really happened.
We were together when the four of us were together. Is right after the outbreak occurred. But
oh wait a second. I'm curious what her boyfriend does during the fisting. Sweetie, I'm going in the kitchen. You want a tab or anything? Montero, how about, I know you got the one hand used up, but Bob, you want a Michelob or something?
You hear him in the other room.
What are you swinging at?
You need a towel.
That's a high pitch, stupid.
Yeah, he's watching Sports Center, drinking a beer. I was fisted. Let me ask about the fisting. It's something that seems to be thrown about quite casually, but are people making a fist and they go in and make the fist? But
it's done with the what would this be called?
Snake.
Yeah. Snake move.
It's fisting. It's like when you're trying to get that last pickle out of the jar. You don't make a fist and ram it in. You slide it in. And then
something out of the garbage disposal.
Right. Yeah. Oh, true.
No, that's what it is.
What kind of euphemism is that for a woman's vagina?
It's just how the hand is
garbage disposal. I've never heard it referred to as a garbage disposal. Yeah, wait till I tell your wife what you called her.
You haven't seen Amy,
right? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Hey, Amy.
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys have humor over this.
Well, you know, that's the way we deal with tragedy.
It's all good.
Right. Now, let me just ask, and we'll answer your question, but the fisting part.
Mm-hmm.
No fist on the way in, right?
Well, it's like, I mean, I'm wet and I'm moist and I like the pressure. In fact, I'm actually scared that when I have children, I'll orgasm from it because I like the pressure that's there when...
Now, if you orgasm, does the kid just go shooting out like you're launching
children,
a water balloon from one of those? No, okay. And the fisting part, but here's my question about the fisting, because I'm unclear. Is the fist made before it enters the vagina, or is it let in sort of like your hand is in a sock puppet and then made into a fist?
Well, it depends upon the size of the hand.
I see. In this case...
In this case, what happened?
The fingers were inserted in a cup shape type.
Right. And then the fist is made?
It's more or less just continually pressed in until I can't handle the pressure anymore, and then I tell them to get out.
All right. So it's not really a fisting, is it? But it's a full handing, right?
Sure, we could call it fingering, but it's usually to the wrist.
Okay.
It's to the wrist.
Wristing,
yeah.
Okay.
And where's... Now, who was doing this to you?
Actually, two people at various different times. One, the female, and the other, my
getting stuffed all over.
First, the female, and then your guy went in when she lost her watch.
Her hand would fit further than the guy's because the guy, he's got larger hands.
I see.
And her hands were smaller, so they wanted to see.
And
what's the guy doing while she's fisting?
They're usually sitting on the side, touching themselves, jacking off, whatever. I mean, it's an awe and amazement of what's being done.
Hold on, Jim. What kind of retarded question? What's the guy doing? Of course he's feeding off.
Well, I didn't know if he was trying to stuff somewhere else, you know, to feel her out where she's going.
Now, this was the girl and your man, or the girl and her man?
It was actually all of us, but the hands that were inside of me was my man and her.
I see. Because you're traditional that way?
Well, I prefer anything and everything, but that's what gets me into this situation.
Oh, wow. Well, now, Amy,
yes?
This is interesting to me.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get a physical description of you.
38 DD.
Oh.
I have about 34 waist. I mean, my jeans are men's 34s.
You're fat.
Drew, please. Let's
I'm very voluptuous. I have an hourglass figure. I got a big-ass booty. And, if you want to call it fat, that's great. But
All right.
I
get what you want. Now, that's the beauty of being a woman. Now, how tall do you go?
I'm 5'7".
5'7". What do you weigh in at?
Too much.
Too much? 200? 250?
About 180.
About 180. Let me do some quick math here.
Do your math, yes. And I know what venison is, and I know what veal is.
Hold on,
so,
baby.
Thank you.
5'7", 180. Come with 5.
Bitch!
I got 5'5", and 3/16", 197.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Not bad. You didn't crack the 200.
Not too bad.
Oh, baby. What happened to you growing up? Anything bad?
No, I had a pretty normal life besides the fact that my parents got divorced, but that happens with everyone.
No fisting in your youth?
No, I was never sexually abused. I was always intrigued by sex, though. I mean, I read form from my parents.
Parents? So they had a bunch of pornography lying around when you were a kid?
Well,
no, I mean, I would actually, hunt for it, but that was just because I was intrigued by it.
How old were you when that?
Probably about 8, 9.
Did you walk on your parents or anything, doing anything ever?
I mean, I could hear them. They had a waterbed.
Okay.
But otherwise.
Waterbed. That's therapy right there.
Just parents with a waterbed.
Folks have a waterbed. You gotta, that's at least five years therapy.
5 years minimum. Absolutely.
Yeah, if it was heated, you're up to 7 years.
Okay, but
all right, but wait, Amy, I'm not done. Now, what does your man do? Anything?
He's actually a firefighter.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And this couple, so friends, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we play darts with them.
Wow. Oh, sure. Why not play a parlor game after you're done fisting your friend? So I say, who's up for darts? Well, I'm not done fisting your wife, Chet. Okay, well, I'm gonna start warming up. You all right?
Let's have some pork chops, some beer, and fist your wife. Who's in?
let's flip it over and play the baseball side of the dartboard this time. Let's live. Does anyone ever do that, by the way? Has anyone ever in the human history played the baseball game on the back of the dartboard? Amy.
Yes.
Well, it seems to me that you have an open relationship with these people. I mean, you're someone who doesn't mind speaking your mind.
You've got to just put them on notice. Whether you want to send them a letter or whatever, they probably knew about it. They probably exposed you to it.
Probably. Yeah,
it doesn't
make them bad people, but it could make them bad people, but they probably were aware they got herpes and... God knows where people as demure as these people would have picked up herpes along the way, but sometimes tragedy strikes good people.
Nice young couple.
I want to know how Amy avoided it so long.
Yes, she's 22, all of 22.
Yeah. And, yeah, there's no doubt that she's worried about sexual relationships in the future. Just be honest with people. Make sure they wear a condom. Make sure you're not having an outbreak. And they should be reasonably protected.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. Jim Brewer is our guest tonight. We'll hear something off his new CD, Smoke and Brew. Wait a minute, it's not out yet, is it?
Next Tuesday.
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jim Brewer is our guest tonight. CD is called Smoke and Brew. That is out in a couple days. And this is... Oh, we're in September, aren't we?
We are. Isn't that sick?
Jesus,
we're almost
Christ.
Done with it.
Sick.
What's the date?
19th,
20th. 20th? Oh, boy. I got to make a move. All right. So I'll tell you what. We'll hear something off the new CD. I think... let's try to power through a couple calls, and we'll hear it after the break. Eddie?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Uh-huh.
Your penis goes limp during sex?
Yep.
When you're in a woman, it goes limp?
Yeah.
You're able to penetrate, but that's it.
Yep. In order for me to get erect again, she got to give me oral. And then once I get back in, I go limp again.
Are you on medication?
Nope.
Do you have any medical problems?
Nope.
This happened with all the women you're with?
Actually, it's just with my girlfriend now. We've been together for like 6 months now.
Never happened before this?
Before, it happened, but not as regular as it does now.
You have any sense what's causing it?
I have no idea. That's why I'm calling the ex to see if you can give me an idea of what it is.
Is she unusually moist?
Yeah, very.
Is something making you
nervous? That's it.
Something making you nervous?
Yeah, like self-confidence, huh?
Okay.
Something making you nervous?
No.
Nothing.
Maybe it's the moisture factor. Not getting the friction?
Nope, I'm getting none at all. It's just like I'm hitting nothing.
Even the mental game, I actually had this problem.
He's saying he doesn't feel anything when he enters her.
You don't feel anything when you're in?
No, because she gets so wet that, you know, it's like I'm feeling nothing.
There is such a thing.
Yeah. And what do you do? Dump some kitty litter down there? Like, how do you mop that up?
Air it out or something?
Yeah, what do you do? I mean, seriously, could you turn a hairdryer on her or something?
Maybe wear a dry condom or something? Or
how about what about a condom? Like a non-lubricated condom?
That doesn't work.
Makes it worse for him, probably.
And so it's because of her moisture, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, what do you give her? Do you give her oral sex?
Uh-huh.
And is she like that?
Yeah.
And she has an orgasm?
Yep.
Can you get that out of the way first? Maybe it'll slow things down a little bit?
I usually have someone do that.
Yeah, and then you come in.
Yeah, my assistant do that, get that out of the way, and then I come in and mop up. But, Eddie?
Yeah.
I think what you're going to have to do, because this is probably her moisture, why don't you do this? I know this sounds a little weird, but why don't you do it for a couple of beats and keep a towel or something next to you and just, you know, pull it out and sort of dry it off and get it back in there and see if you can get some friction going. Or get the oral and just go in and, you know, get right to the point where you're about to go with the oral and then hop on and finish off. Man, I don't know what you can do about the moisture thing, but I do know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. All right. Let's, yeah, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
That's too fast. Matt?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
No, he sounds like he's 12.
You are not 17.
Yeah, I'm 17.
Really? Virgin, right?
What?
Virgin?
Yeah, virgin.
Yep,
yeah,
that's that voice.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know how Jim picks his movies?
Yeah.
Jim, how do you pick your movies?
How do I pick my movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you get an offer, like, do you just, like, look at the script or, like, do you read about it and, like, think you'd be good for the part or...
You like, get a you script think, you, and you think... hope you get it if you go audition for it.
Not really.
But, like, you're talking, like, with Half-Baked?
Yeah.
I haven't done a whole lot. All I did, really, was, like, two independent films and Half-Baked was it, but... For a regular actor, you get an agent and they send you out in auditions and you read a script and you go for it. Or if you're such thing as a patient actor, you wait for the right.
Jim gets hundreds of scripts each month. He has his staff go through them. They pick the ones they think are going to be right for him. And then he has his secretary read them aloud while he watches Sports Center and runs on a treadmill. All right, Matt.
I got another question for Jim.
No. We gotta go to break.
All right,
sorry, buddy. No.
Cannot have.
We'll take a quick break. Jim Brewer is our guest tonight. We'll hear something off the new CD, Smoke and Brew, when we come back. Loveline, I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jim Brewer is our guest tonight, known from Saturday Night Live and a handful of movies, TV appearances, that kind of thing.
Fistin'.
Goat Boy.
Fistin' Goat Boy?
Fistin' Goat Boy. It's going to be the name of the next CD. Smoke and Brew is the name of the CD, and it is coming out in a couple of days.
Yeah.
I think we're going to hear, now it's a lot of stories.
A lot of stories about me at SNL, first time there, Norm, a lot of them I can't do, you know, Norm is a blue guy, so I can't. A lot of them are stories.
Right.
Stories I can tell in the regular arena.
Now, we're going to hear
some stand-up.
Hear something off the CD, but no, we're hearing Hokey Pokey, but we're not hearing the whole thing.
Right.
No, it's long, bro.
All right, so we'll hear a couple minutes of it, right?
This is just me doing AC/DC, doing the Hokey Pokey.
Here it is.
Are you guys ready? Trust me!
Always did this.
I'm a jackass.
You tour with the band?
Yeah, man. It's all like friends that I grew up with. We
wow.
have fun.
That's great.
It's like being hanging out in your basement.
And these guys go with. I mean, if you're going to be like at the House of Blues,
right.
These guys are with you.
They're with me. They know. They played like wedding bands their whole lives.
Wow.
So they know any tune. Like sometimes we'll be in the middle of something, and so do Freebird. You know, everyone says something. They know. They right on cue hit anything.
And you know, do you know Freebird?
No. I'm not up there singing. That's the only time, you know, I can do like AC/DC, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But most of the time they're in the back. I'll tell stories and they play like background music. You know, if I'm talking about drinking, they play like a blues tune.
Really?
I do stand up and they just play background
music.
That's a good idea.
You need to go around with the band all the time.
It's fun, man.
It's about your friends don't do anything.
Well, I wanted to do that, but with mariachis. And yeah. I wanted them to play when I entered whatever room. You know, like when a Mexican fighter enters the ring?
Oh, yeah.
Guy with the big guitar and the trumpets fire up as I step into the party. Everyone knows I'm coming because they see him setting up.
They see you coming.
Oh, yeah. Corolla must be here. You see that guy with the huge, huge... See that little short, fat guy with the huge, huge guitar? It's always the short, fat guy with the
little
huge
fat
one.
Dude.
Yeah, he's getting ready.
If he's really good, he'll have
huge
a little
hat,
stash.
Huge guitar.
Yeah. And,
that's,
you know,
only the real good ones.
The thing about that huge, fat guitar, it never really caught on. You know what I mean? Like, no one else ever played.
Which is shocking, too, you would think, because it crushes in their culture. Crushes.
Yeah, it's huge, but you never see any old pictures of Hendrix or Townsend or anybody with the huge,
surprise
fat guitar.
Surprising crossover.
Yeah.
I am surprised.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not like... It, you know, the pinata made it over.
The goddamn sitar made it over.
The sitar
made it huge, too. It tears up at parties.
Sitar made it from India.
Yeah.
If the sitar could make
guitar.
It, the big gourd guitar would work. Yeah.
We should look into that.
Yeah.
Because it has so much.
If only
to
George Harris
offer.
Were still alive. He'd bring it over.
Yeah. He'd go over there. Yeah. He'd do the concert for Tijuana. Yeah. Paige? Paige, you're 17?
Yeah.
What's going on back there?
They're yelling at you about piercing?
Yeah.
Who, your parents?
No, I'm in a dorm room, and my friends, they think I'm so stupid, but they're the ones who made me call.
You going to college?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't want to say.
All right, but you're in the Portland area?
Yeah.
All right, and you did get a piercing, or you're going to get a piercing?
No, I got one.
And what kind?
I got one in the hood.
In the neighborhood?
No. The hood over my...
Hold on a second. Drew made a joke, everybody. Let's just pause for a second. Let's give like 5 seconds of silence because this doesn't happen all the time. You ready? And... All right, we're back. Yeah, you got it in the hood of your clitoris.
Yes.
Right. And how was it? Was it painful?
Yeah, I was pretty drunk, but yeah.
And you're not 18 yet.
No.
Where did you get someone to do that to you without being 18? Oh my God, I want to know.
We went downtown, and I was pretty messed up at the time, but we went into this guy's apartment, and he had some things, and everyone thought it was really cool, and another guy got, like, something done before me, so...
Did you see them open up the equipment? In other words, was this all sterile equipment?
I think so.
Did you see them open the package?
No. I'm really confused about the night exactly what went on.
Oh, my God.
Man, it happened to me once.
You got bloated and you came out with a piercer.
I had a chandelier hanging from my hood when I got home.
Oh, my God.
I was wondering because, like, I couldn't get my pants up the next morning. It was like a huge chandelier hanging from my clitoris hood. And I was like, what? Where'd this come from?
Chimpanzee in the bathroom.
Confused. There's still plaster hanging off it, so I know it was torn off of the roof of, like, a Spelling's place.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Paige?
Yes?
You have a problem with alcohol?
Evidently.
I've gone drinking a couple times.
Mm-hmm. And was this a strange guy who did this to you?
Well, the guy who did it, yes. The guys I'm with, they go to school and...
Do you know them now, the guys you went to school with? Could you ask them who had done this and whether it was sterile, whether this guy was reputable?
I'm really nervous to talk to them. What I'm most concerned about, I have these two symptoms.
Uh-oh.
One is my butthole's the size of a baby.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Drew said the voice.
Yeah. Shut up!
When you started going south, I went, oh, Adam, it's bogus.
Drew looked at me and said, he said the voice.
I said bogus.
He said bogus, yeah.
Bogus?
Yeah. Drew caught, you know, you got it out. You did pretty good there, Paige, but I do want you to know that Drew did say bogus under his breath.
He is the master.
Couple of
but that was good. That was a good one, though. That was good.
All right, baby.
I got to be honest. I didn't buy the whole...
Nah, I bought it.
Really?
I bought it.
Hey, niches.
Nice work, Paige.
Thank you very much.
All right, babe.
Bye, babe.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Hey, but you know, the guy that invented the mason jar butthole called the show when you were away.
Mm-hmm.
With a real problem. Wait, well, it's Phil Jimmett. He looks confused.
What's the mason jar butthole?
Oh, boy.
Well,
how do you explain?
Well, you know the Hokey Pokey's a dance?
Yeah.
Well, it's the, no. A guy called in...
4 years ago.
Four or five years ago. And he would start to tell a story, and then at the very end, he would end it with, she had a mason jar. She had a butthole the size of a mason jar.
Gotcha.
And then it became the sort of tag to all bogus calls.
Any caller would throw
And then people would try to call the show, and they'd try to draw us in with a story, and then they would end with a butthole the size of a mason jar. And this spread, and this guy had his legions. It's one of these things where I don't know, even know if he spoke to these people.
Oh,
it's
no.
Just caught on.
Oh, absolutely not. He apologized when he called him a couple weeks ago.
But
he
said,
and I asked him, that I tell you where he got the whole idea, and he'd heard Adam refer to someone's butt.
It did sound a little too clever for a caller. Yes, thank you. But the point is people started doing it now. Did Paige go? Yeah. See, women do it on occasion, too, but I believe guys put them up to it.
Yeah.
Women don't think that way. They don't have that bogus call gene. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
Guys, they're doing...
Unless they're really young.
They're doing the bidding for a guy, and guys know that when a guy calls the show, we immediately get suspicious.
So they get their female friends to do it for them.
But she sold it okay with the piercings and the hood and the... People,
story was well
roommates and all that kind of stuff. I don't mind a bogus call. Here, let me explain my role here. My role is to be here for 2 hours and get paid and go home. I don't care if you want to do nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like an attorney that you have for 2 hours, and you could talk about your divorce or you could talk about golf. It doesn't matter. I'm billing you for the 2 hours, and then I'm going home. I'd actually prefer that you spoke about golf. It's easier. I don't have to work.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's the bogus call.
Yeah, that's what the bogus call. That's what the bogus call is. Jay?
Yeah.
You're 30?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey, this is Jason here.
Hold on a second.
Oh, my God.
You know what's weird that never used to happen to me in life, and now it's going on, and you guys probably experienced this and probably have for a while now, is, you know, when I used to work, when I was a carpenter, you showed up at work, and it was time to work. You just started working. There's no conversation about anything. Now you go out on all these lunches and stuff, and you have these conversations that have nothing to do with work, but you're always waiting for the point when you get down to business. So you sit down with somebody. It's like some executive from Comedy Show. How you doing? Good. How was the drive over? It's good. Go traffic, L.A. traffic. Oh, man, I'll tell you the traffic. And you start talking, but now you start thinking, when are we going to start talking about whatever? And then there's a certain point where they kind of sit up, and they slide their chair up, and they go... Well, I'm glad you met me here today. And now you go, okay, here's where it begins. Here's where it begins. But there's always at least, and I don't know what that time is. It's about 8 to 14 minutes of nonsense before everything.
In my real life, you know, when I'm practicing medicine, that 18, 14 minutes does not exist. You can't waste that 8 minutes.
Right.
You can't even sit down to eat.
Right. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's what I like about show business is all the extraneous conversations that go on before you get to whatever it is you're going to talk
to. It makes me insane.
Why? You don't have to talk business.
Because I've got other stuff I should be doing with that 8 to 15 minutes.
True. You know true. If an executive sat you down for lunch, it'd be the best day of your life, please. How dare you. All right, where were we? Were we talking to Jay?
No, let's go up to John. I want to talk to John first.
You don't want to talk to Jay?
We'll get back to Jay.
All right. John?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
You were, kicked out of the Air Force?
Yep.
What'd you do?
Got in a little conversation with a girl that I was seeing.
Ooh.
Was she enlisted?
Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you ask that?
Why'd I ask that?
Yeah.
Well, because if you get into a confrontation with a girl you're seeing and she's not part of the Air Force, then they probably won't kick you out of the Air Force.
Oh, really?
Well, they don't know about it.
Oh, that...
Necessarily.
Okay.
Well, I mean, unless you drag her onto the tarmac and start beating the crap out of her.
So you mean it was something that happened during, like, while they were working together kind of thing?
I don't know.
It was on and off.
On and off. She reported you?
Yes and no. We were seeing each other, kind of. Actually, we were seeing each other. But what happened was she started losing interest in me, so I had to kind of ignore her. And then next thing I know, she was another guy.
I see.
So I kind of put her off to the side. And then she started wanting to come talk to me all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I pushed her away, and she got kind of pissed about it.
Right.
And a day before I was leaving that base, I got in a confrontation with her, and I said some things. Not exactly what she said I said, but she kind of overdrew it.
Yeah.
And she reported me to my commanding officer, and I got in trouble for it.
And that's it? You're out?
That was it.
One infraction?
It was a pretty big infraction, as they say it.
Her her word against yours?
Sure. Her new boyfriend was a witness.
I see.
Did you threaten to harm her?
Huh?
Did you threaten to hurt her?
No.
And this was your only infraction while in the Air Force?
That and something small when I was in boot camp.
That's
there we go.
Starting to make sense.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. So anyway, they didn't like you. You're a troublemaker.
That's how it started, and since then I've been having some problem with relationships.
All right.
And that's where my question comes into play.
Now, what do they give you? They give you a dishonorable discharge?
It was an honorable discharge. They call it an honorable general.
Right. That really means, it's got to mean you're a huge F-up and they just want to get rid of you, doesn't it?
Basically.
Not really, though.
No, but listen, you can't be doing your job.
His mind's like, not really. It's like,
Mom, listen, it's really not like that.
When they give you the honorable discharge, it's like, buddy, you ain't cutting it. Just get out of here. What were you doing in the Air Force?
I was a firefighter.
Oh, I see. All right. So now you're having difficulties in relationships.
I never really did before, and right now, when I got back and my parents found out that I got kicked out, they kicked me out of the house as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
was
I had...
Was your dad a military guy?
Huh?
Was your dad in the military?
No, but it's a family thing. His brother was in the military, and he was a general, actually.
Mm.
So,
right.
It was kind of they kind of pushed me to go.
Right.
So when I got kicked out, I kind of felt, and they kind of felt that I was a. You could say.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't say that though. You know what I like about guys, and guys have this gene more than women.
You're making a rap.
They're
all the time.
They're like abrasive guys. They try to call the show and they say I got thrown out for no reason.
Or, hey, what happened?
I got in a little argument with this chick and they tossed me out of the military.
You believe that.
Yeah, you didn't lay a hand on
it's
her.
It's always
you
like making
you didn't
a rap.
Threaten her.
I said one weird thing, and next thing you know, I'm on a boat home. Stupid.
Yeah, and then I got home, and I just showed up at home. My
parents threw me out.
Yeah.
No.
And then I said the F word on Loveline, and Adam threw me out.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Please. Now, why did you went home, and your parents tossed you out just for coming home?
Yeah.
They just tossed you. You didn't get drunk.
Did you ever have trouble with the law, or can you join the force?
No, I was a straight edge when I was in high school.
Straight edge, and you didn't get into it with your dad or your mom when you got home.
Me and my dad have never really gotten along, hence why I left to go to the Air Force. So when I got kicked out, it kind of wasn't any better.
In fact, it was worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Right. But you didn't go home with your tail between your legs.
Yeah.
You and your dad got into it again, and then he kicked you out again.
Sorry, I'm not like you, Dad.
Bless you.
All right, so now, John, you got to collect, you got to get it together here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't care about your relationships right now. That's not important.
That is not the issue.
What's
you
important?
You got to get your life together, get a job, and get a place to live.
Right, right. Now
I did get a job. I've been working 40 hours a week, and I go to school as
right.
well. So I'm trying to piece my life together slowly.
Okay.
All right, well, get that not just pieced together, get it like solidly glued together, and then you'll be available for a relationship.
Well,
yeah.
That's one of my concerns. When I stress out a lot, because like I said, I've been doing a 40-hour week, and I'm constantly working, and I have school with that. I have a hard time releasing stress. And I've tried different methods, and it just doesn't work. And normally I've noticed when I have a relationship or I have someone close I could talk to, like a girlfriend,
yeah.
it tends to help me.
Yeah.
And the problem is I've been trying that, and I'm not getting that.
All right. Well, you're not going to get it for a little while because you're 20 years old, and 20-year-old guys don't do real good with chicks. You got a crappy job. You're going to junior college. Your old man's booted you out of the house. You got tossed out of the service. You're not a real attractive package at this point. That's all right. You work hard for a few years, and then you go out and get whatever you want. But that's what you got to do now. And as far as blowing off steam, you got to get like a heavy bag or a mountain bike or something.
What, by the way, were the techniques you used to blow off steam before?
Beating up enlisted personnel, stuff like that.
What was it?
I used to just hang out with friends. And after I got back, I used to actually do a couple things. I did something but my parents didn't know about when I was in high school. I did drugs. And I quit when I went in. And I
straight edge guy in high school.
Straight edge, yeah.
And I've been a good job of not doing it after.
Well, I thought you were straight edge in high school.
Well, I didn't, like, get in trouble with the law, but I did some, yeah.
You did a fair amount of heroin, though?
No, none of that.
All right. Well,
straight
listen,
edge addict.
John, please. Here's the problem. John has no problem with himself,
yeah, right.
But everyone else does.
Problem. Yeah,
and I love guys like this.
Bus
it's like,
driver.
Hey, well, I was straight edge in high school. No, I didn't do nothing. I mean, it's like you never do anything. Why does society punish you? Why
singled him out?
Why,
they find
why
him.
Why is your old lady dump
bus
you?
Bus driver kicked me off.
Why is the colonel throw you out of the service? Yeah. Why is your old man have? Why does everyone have trouble if you don't do anything? Listen to me, everybody. Please, please. If people have trouble with you, it's because of you. It's not because of them. All this crap, I go nuts when I hear about people. Yeah, I got fired from my third job. What's wrong? Boss was jealous. I was doing the work of 10 men. Really? You were that good an employee? Yeah. Well, why'd he cut you? No reason. No. There's no reason. Teacher.
I ran that place.
This all begins in like junior high. I used to try to float this crap too, which is I got the D because the teacher doesn't like me.
Oh, of course.
Guys got it in for me. Yeah, just drop it, everybody. Whatever it is you're doing, it ain't working.
And whatever it is happening to you, it is your doing.
That's right.
That makes it happen.
John, you stay in school, do your work, fine. Hang out with your buddies. Don't get in any trouble. Get it together, and you can find a woman. But women don't want you right now, and I don't blame them. Let's talk to Jay, who's 30. Jay?
Yeah, right here.
What's up?
Hey, well, first off, I want to say that, you know, Adam Carolla, he rocks, you know.
Thank you. I love him, too. Love him, too. Big fan.
Yeah, it's totally cool. Adam Carolla is just cool. And Dr. Drew, yeah, he's kind of going on.
He's all right, yeah.
You know, I've got to say that Jim Brewer, great comedian.
Yeah, he's not chopped liver, this Jim Brewer.
Oh, not at all.
All right.
He can't get any better than that.
Anything anyway. About Norm MacDonald? We'll talk about him, too.
What's that?
Anything about Norm MacDonald?
No. I don't know who Norm MacDonald is.
Oh, he's going to really start drinking even more and gambling even more when I tell him that. He's going to start gambling on his drinking. He's going to combine his two loves. Jay?
My big question is, you know, I have this hair that's growing on the shaft of my penis.
What on the shaft?
Hair that's growing?
Yeah, on the shaft of my penis.
Uh-huh.
How far up?
Up to the point where it's close to the head. It's not quite. It gets to that point where it starts to get kind of pink, I guess you'd say.
Yeesh.
How much hair?
Well, not a whole lot. It's not as closely placed as it would be on your arms.
Right. But it's there.
It's like definitely hair.
Yeah.
Not like a wild hair here and there.
It's arm hair and facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Like leg hair.
Well, what has more, arm hair or facial hair?
In between is what I would say.
Yeah, I know, but what?
What has more?
Yeah, your arm or your face?
Oh, the face, absolutely.
Oh, okay, so it's more than arm hair, less than facial hair.
Yeah.
That's hair, though.
Yeah, I know, and I want to get rid of it permanently but safely, and I want to know how to do that.
What have you tried so far?
I think acid probably is the way to go.
Oh, no.
No? No, I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
What have you been doing so far?
Plucking.
Plucking one out.
Wait, how can you pluck, though, when you have...
I knew he was
going to
say that.
How could you pluck I mean, if you had your arm, for instance, you couldn't pluck all the hair out of your arm.
Well, you know, I tried it. I tried plucking, and it just didn't...
Oh, hold on a second. Is this bogus, or is he not describing his problem?
One or the other.
Because he did downgrade to try... He said, how have you been getting rid of it so far? And he said, plucking. And then we said, plucking? You can pluck the arm on your hair. And he goes, well, I tried to pluck it.
Backpedal.
Which sounds like a little backpedal and fix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jay?
Yeah.
Now I'm going bogus on this.
No, not at all. Not at all whatsoever. I am worried about it myself. I've had no female say anything about it so far.
All right.
But I have...
How large is your penis?
It's got a decent diameter.
Well, sure, it's all covered with hair. Get an extra 7/8 out of that hair.
No, I don't mean the hair.
My head's bigger when I don't cut my hair.
Sounds like a businessman.
You got good diameter, but the length...
I need new underwear because it doesn't go the length there. It goes further than what I need to go when I get hard.
So you got to get new underwear?
Yeah, I mean, I wish they would design something where I
could... Yeah, me too. And I wish they'd put my name on it. All right. And what about the hair as far as your boyfriend's rectum goes? Is that a problem?
No boyfriend.
All right, hold on a second.
I'm going all out poopy thing. What do you say?
I can't figure out. Asshole like a mason jar.
I think I'm going there.
I can't figure out. Yeah, but you know what? It's not crafted well enough to be a bogus call. Yeah, like he's
too random.
He's random. He's a little schizoid with his line. You know, I mean, he wouldn't see guy. He wouldn't be making jokes about the underpants and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess. I mean,
he literally is like, he
could be
a
nervous
turn. That's a great answer. Yeah.
I'm intrigued. Hey, Jay?
Yeah.
You're 30 years old, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do? Something? You sell cars? You sell something?
Nah, I work in the laboratory.
The lab?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What kind of lab?
It's actually process wafers for a computer.
For the church? Oh. You say wafers?
So you said wafers.
I don't even know what
wafers,
wafer
man.
Is. For
well,
computers?
Computer wafers.
Oh, computer wafer. What is a computer wafer?
I don't know what computer is.
All right. Anyway, Jay, you have a girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay. And she's all right with the penis?
Yeah, so far, she has not said anything about it, but I don't want her when she's going down on me to say anything.
Well, she's been down on you, yes?
She's very recent, and yes, she
right.
has.
Now, when she goes down on you, I'm picturing your glasses steaming up. Is this true? You wear glasses?
No, I wear contacts, and everything steams up.
Uh-huh. All right. I knew it was a glass wear, though. Down at the lab, working on the wafers. Mm. Got a Sharpay for a penis. All right, so she's going...
She's a mess.
She's going down on him.
He's got hair in his donkey.
But, Drew, what about that?
I don't know if they can do laser on that or not. I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so either. What about like a depilatory?
What?
You know, like
skin.
Nair or something?
So this happens a lot? Do you get hair in the donkey?
There is such a thing.
It happens. It's bad times when it does. Yeah, I mean, women don't like hair on your back. I couldn't imagine what they think of hair on
your... I think you'd have to, like, take a little shaver and, you know...
Take a razor?
Or a clipper.
Okay. All right, let's all just thank God our dorks aren't covered with hair. Jim Brewer is our guest, and we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jim Brewer is our guest tonight. Jim has himself a CD out called Smokin' Brew. It is going to be coming out, I should say, in a couple of days. And you can find him at the House of Blues on September 25th out here in Los Angeles, on October 4th in Anaheim, and on the 5th in Vegas. All right. I got back from Vegas yesterday. It's all right town, yeah. It's coming together. It's okay.
You weren't there during the fight, were you?
No.
That's where you're going to Tahoe, then.
Who fought? Yeah, there's always De La Hoya and Vargas.
Someone.
Yeah. There's always something boring going on in Vegas when I'm there. It's like I go, boy, the town seems crowded. And I don't mind the town being crowded if there's stripper conventions in town.
Yeah, the go-go's are
But there. But it's always like, I always ask the cab drivers, what's going on? Oh, well, it was crowded last week for the fight. Yeah, that sounds good. And what are they got a convention for guys that do pottery or something. It's like 20,000 potters in here. Guys, you know, they sell
the
wheels.
Turkey convention.
And it's always like, that's who I'm waiting behind. It's always a convention in that town. All right, let's talk to Layla, who's 17. Layla?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I've been going out with my boyfriend for like a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like really controlling and like compulsive about like what he's doing and where he is and like why he can't be with me if he's not with me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, like, I mean, in the past, like, month, I've gotten a little better about it.
Yeah. How long did you say you've been with him?
A year.
One year.
My first boyfriend, yeah.
Mm. All right. And it says up on the screen your dad died?
Yeah.
While on vacation?
Yeah, he went on vacation.
Where'd he go? Mexico?
No, he went to
That's the number
Iran.
One vacation place to die. Oh, actually, Iran's number one, except for it's not normally thought of as a vacation destination.
Well, like, we have family there. So.
I see.
What happened?
He, I guess, had a heart attack.
How old was he?
58.
Well, they threatened to stone him, and he had a heart attack. And so you were how old when that happened?
It was in the middle of my freshman year.
Okay. 14? That's so definitely not a good thing, but it doesn't have
to. It's pretty recent,
though. Yeah. How are you doing with it?
Well, at first, I was, like, fine. I mean, like, my mom was really, really upset, and, like, I guess I was kind of okay with it. And then she went to Iran to kind of, like, I guess he's buried there, like, so I didn't get to see him or anything or have a funeral, but she went there.
Why were you fine with it at the beginning?
Well, because I thought maybe he was, like, alive somewhere else and that he was going to come back and that he was, I didn't think he was dead.
That's not what you call fine, Layla. That's what you call in massive,
well,
total
denial. The reason I was fine, though, was because that's, like, how I was dealing with it.
I see. Had he had a history of faking his death? My dad
no,
did
that. No, but, like, I kept... Until my mom came back with his stuff, and I realized that, oh, he's dead.
Oh, okay. So you're just sort of in shock and in denial.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess I was in denial.
And now you've accepted it.
Yeah.
And you're doing okay, but maybe it's affecting you and your relationships?
I guess. I mean, I can't really, like, figure out anything else. I mean...
Well, naturally enough.
I haven't had many... he's my first boyfriend. He's my first date.
Some people get in this sort of psychology or state where they can't even let someone leave the room. They have to be in complete control. They have to constantly see that they're okay. They have to constantly be reassured. They catastrophize when they're out of the room. In fact, like, codependents do this very often with their addict, alcoholic partners.
Right.
And they try to control their disease and things. But this is understandable, given what you've been through.
But here's the thing, Layla. You're 17. You've not had a lot of experience dating. You suffered some trauma with your dad recently. And this is all par for the course. You understand what you're doing. Keep an eye on yourself. Keep yourself in check. You may feel like calling him and questioning him every 5 minutes. Just put the phone down.
Behave as if you were sane.
Behave as if you were sane. Then it'll be all right. You'll work it out. You're fine. You okay, baby?
You can almost admit it to him, too.
Yeah,
it's going to be a pain to him.
Absolutely.
Say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know the problem with that in women? And I think it would work on guys, but it doesn't work with women. Like when they tell you, they're all freaked out one day and they chew you out. They're all over the place. They're all emotional. And then they tell you the next day, that time of the month, I'm sorry, baby. You know, the hormones go crazy. I don't even know who I am. And you're like, okay. And then next month they're like, they start chewing on you and they start getting weird and they start whatever. And you go, uh-huh. You know what, baby? This is that time of the month. No. That doesn't work.
No.
That
conversation, makes it worse.
Of course, it makes it worse. It makes it worse. And what I'm saying is a guy can give this speech, and I think it'll work with a guy. Like, as a guy, don't you think you'd be all right with this? I mean, if you said to your woman,
yeah, oh, absolutely.
Look, I get a little jealous sometimes. Yeah. I get a little this. It just pointed out to me. If I start spinning out, I mean, as long as you're not loaded, I think it might work on you. But
absolutely.
She probably would be loaded. All right, so just tell him you're okay. And let's move on. Dan?
Hello?
You're 22?
Yes.
Your girlfriend scratched the hell out of you when your pubes began to grow back? What? What's that say, Drew?
Well, let's ask him what he tends to ask us.
Well, basically, my girlfriend had shaved herself, you know? It was like, it was actually probably the second time we'd been together. It was the first time we were actually alone in her house.
You mean she shaved herself clean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, well, actually, she had just started to grow back. I guess she did a little bit earlier in the day. It was late in the evening.
Sure.
She started to grow
back.
5 o'clock
shadow.
Exactly. And basically, she was riding me, you know, and we were the first time together. I mean, she looks good. I was having a good time. But scratching me. It was kind of hurting a little bit.
Right.
But I didn't do anything about it. You know, I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
What would you have done about it, by the way?
Well, I'm not going to tell her to get off. So, but anyways, it started hurting real bad.
Hold on a second.
Oh, my God.
Well, I like the question of what would you have done about it. And he told you what he wasn't going to do.
I'll tell you what I ain't going to do.
What, are you some kind of fag, Drew? He's not going to tell her to get off. Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. So she's on top, and you're getting a little scratched up down there, but it's worth it.
So the next morning I woke up, and it was all red down there and really sore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, whatever, it'll go away. And then the next day, I was actually at work, and I sat down to use the bathroom, and I looked down, and there was where it was sore, there was white bumps like all over my upper thighs, my groin, not around, you know.
Yeah. But ingrown hairs, maybe?
That's what someone else had said that had answered the call, but it wasn't ingrown hairs. It was from her, and it was really sore, and it freaked me out. So I just got out of the military, so I told my boss, hey, I got to go to the VA right now, man. Something's not right. Mm-hmm. I want to get this checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down there, and I talked to him, and they said it's not an STD or anything, something about bacteria.
Yeah.
Got into the hair follicle.
Right, it's like a folliculitis, exactly.
All right.
And so they gave me some antibiotics, and it eventually went away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that, you know, this was probably, you know, 8 months ago. We're still together. And every once in a while, like a big old, in the same area, it'll come back, like a big, and it'll be really sore. Like, it feel like a pimple almost, but, you know, I tried to pop them, but they're not like pimples, you
like
know?
Like a heat blister?
Yeah, what is that, Drew? It's
I'm not sure.
Carbuncles.
And this is on your thigh?
Yeah, upper groin area.
It doesn't have much, she's not giving it to you. That stuff grows on your skin.
Has she?
So it's not an STD?
No.
Has she grown,
tight underwear?
Has she grown back since?
She pretty much stay shaved.
I see. Yeah, you like that, huh?
Well, she likes it. I don't really ask her to, but...
Yeah, all right, hey, whatever.
Yeah.
Que sera, sera. All right. So the term you bandy about a lot in the military? I'm guessing you do.
Yeah.
Name boats, que sera, sera, and planes and tanks and stuff like that.
Bombs.
Be a good name for a boat.
For a bomb.
Doris Day could christen it. Yeah. All right, hey, Dan?
Yes.
I'm going to tell Drew to tell you what to do. Go, Drew.
You get some Physahex scrub. There's antibacterial creams you can use. This is due to an overgrowth of staph or strep on your skin. Usually it's a staph. Gets into the follicle. You irritate the follicle from the way she's rubbing on you. And you'll have to take antibiotics periodically. That will happen. There's another cream called Bactroban that sometimes can, you talk to your doctor about,
you,
and let
you
apply on there.
You go to the skin section, you go to the zit section of the store.
You get Physahex scrub. See if you can get that. It's these antibacterial scrubs. Not the acne type scrubs.
Well, but isn't that in the same section,
it
like when
be.
You go to the supermarket?
Yeah, probably. Might be. I don't know. I don't know.
And what do they use the Physo-X? I thought they use that for skin, for acne.
No.
All right. You just being combative or no?
No, it's not. It's irritant, so it's not that good for acne.
You got to walk around, big baggy shorts.
Yeah, air is good.
Keep it dry?
Yeah, keep it dry.
Keep it dry, Hammer.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Jim Burrows here. A couple questions for him. We also got Gene, who's 41's ex-con, divorced, joint custody. How to be sure his kids turn out okay?
Mm.
Well, they got to do better than him, right? I mean, Drew, that's the problem. Your kids aren't going to do better than you. That's got to suck. Like,
it's a lot of pressure on
him. I started cleaning carpets when I was 19. I was doing better than my dad immediately. It was so easy. I graduated high school. I was doing better than him. I got a C. I was doing better than him in English. It's all gravy with the Corollas. You get your own car, you're doing better than anyone in the family. Or you get a moped, you're doing better.
Bank account?
I don't have bank account.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, okay.
But the Drew man, forget
Not
it.
The Drew man. Kids are screwed. And think about this.
I don't know.
Anderson wants us to go to break, but I have an enjoyable life because I grew up in a crappy house and a crappy room with crappy parents and crappy everything. Everything sucked. The car sucked. The parents sucked. The house sucked. The TV sucked. The toaster sucked. Every goddamn thing in that house sucked. Didn't have a goddamn dryer in the house. That place sucked so bad. I had a washing machine in my room, and the meter was in my room. The meter man used to have to come in and read my meter in the room, and I had the water heater in the room. Everything sucked. Now I'm happy. Oh, look at me. I'm elated. I got a great house. I got a great car. Everything's great. Your kids... Big step backwards.
Yeah, no matter what.
They got that big house up in the hills in Pasadena. You got the money, you got the BMWs. They're going to be driving around a Daihatsu Charade and living in some flop house down on Skid Row. It's going to be horrible.
Put radio speakers in the back of their car.
Just drinking Aqua Velva, trying to get a buzz. Old man beating on him with a chain.
Doing whippets.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to be a doctor.
That's right.
Maybe I don't want to.
Disaster. Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jim Brewer is our guest tonight. Smoking Brews, the name of the CD, which is out in just a couple of days. And also you can find him at the L.A. House of Blues, and then the Anaheim House of Blues, and then the Vegas House of Blues, all coming up September 25th, 4th, and 5th, and that's October the 4th and the 5th, obviously. All right, let's hop back the phones and burn a few calls here. Gene?
Hi, guys.
41, what's up, buddy?
Hey, first of all, you know, in the short time I've been listening to you guys, I've gained a tremendous amount of respect. I think you're great. Drew, my question is that, you know, I did some time about, I've been out for 4 years now. My daughter's 13, my boy's 9, they're doing really well, we got a good relationship, but, you know, it seems like when I listen to these young kids call you with their problems, it all, most of the time, seems to stem back to something their parents did. And
always. And not most of the time, always.
Well, 95% of the time, once in a while.
It's, yeah, and...
It's a little,
you know,
nature.
I carry around a lot of guilt. I'm the first one to admit I have not been the perfect parent, because of, my crime and what I did. I'm on the right path as far as...
Well, what'd you do? And don't beat yourself up. Being incarcerated is not a bad dad.
Well, what I did was I was caught with a large possession of methamphetamine. And
I see.
And did a 3-year sentence. I'm, you know, on the... 4 years out, my last year of parole, and it's all going great. And
all right. You're working and everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Been, started out on the floor and back into management and doing well and all that.
All right. And, your kids, now, were you doing a lot of meth when you were dealing?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That all stemmed from my usage.
Right.
Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
And that probably affected your relationship with your kids?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Was around and I was there for them, but you know.
Right. But now, how do they feel about you?
Well, I think they feel great about me. At the time this all went down, of course, they were a lot younger. My boy, I don't even know if he remembers any of it, for that matter. But I do talk about it regularly with my daughter. You know, she's in junior high and starting to get exposed to those type of things. And
right.
So I try to be upfront with her as much as possible, which is another question, is that okay to do as far as my own experience?
Yeah, when you've been, generally parents should not discuss their drug use with their kids unless you've been an addict or in recovery and they need to participate in your recovery. Then it's, you know, talk in terms of the consequences and the fact that they are too at risk given the fact that they may carry the gene that you have.
All right, but let's reassure Gene in the sense that you can't take back the past. That is what it is.
So he has to say, because someone else would, well, you know, your dad's a... So he shouldn't be honest with, like, his kid to tell him he did something like that? Or?
Well, I think the 13-year-old is aware of what happened.
I'm not saying lie to your kids ever. I'm saying that most people don't address it.
That's one aspect I haven't addressed with my daughter is, does she feel ashamed of it?
Here's the deal. Get her to Alateen. That's it. Get her this. She needs treatment to process the implicit memories of having been through all this stuff. And there are ways you can either get professional assistance or a free way to do it is go to Alateen.
Yeah. You make up some story about being in some sort of Vietnamese prison camp or something for 4 years. It's like, you see the movie Rambo? It's loosely based on my experiences. And, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the teardrop tattoo, that's Viet Cong. They gave me. That means you've been in country. Yeah, listen, I don't worry so much about the genes of the world. I mean, I do understand whatever they did in the past affected their kids, but he's very anxious on making things right with his kids.
Yeah, he sounds excited.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be okay. They're not going to be perfect, but you're here now. You don't have to compensate for the past. Just, you know what I mean? I think that'll screw the kids up. Just be good from this day forth.
Mm.
Huh? I mean, do you want... No, I mean, get them the help they need, but I mean... Don't overdo it for not being around.
Right, right, right.
Don't put the pressure on them.
Right, don't then make them now responsible for your guilt, too.
Right, right, just...
So feed off that.
Be as good a parent as you can be from this day forth.
Right.
All right, question for Jim. Chris?
Hey.
What's up?
I was just going to ask Jim, how much he likes guitar, like, what are his favorite guitar players?
You like, you mean you like rock, right?
Yeah, I grew up 80s metalhead. I was had the cross earring.
You're from New Jersey?
Long Island.
Oh, Long Island, yeah.
Had the cross earring, the mullet, Judas Priest painted on the back.
You like Van Halen?
I liked Van Halen, but to me it was Judas Priest. Glenn Tipton stuck his little pinky out when he played. He got enough.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
I was in a. I was giving blood the other day, and I was looking around the room, going, "Why does this look so familiar? It's so familiar. Wait a minute. Oh my God! I was at a high school auditorium. Oh my God! On that stage, I was at a prom here in 1973. Van Halen on that.
Wow, that's right.
They were a local band then in Pasadena.
Yeah. Playing at and who else? Scotty Snotty and the Hankies. Snotty Scotty. And who else? Who else played it?
Blues Image. Was
Blues
it?
Image. You know Blues Image.
No, it's Blues
Rod. Image. You're in Captain Rod upon your mystery ship. Huh? Our 13-year-old listeners don't know Blues Image. I refuse to believe that. Don't give me that crap. Watch this. Watch this. DJ.
Yeah.
You know Blues Image, right, brother?
No, man. I'm
sorry. All right. That's one guy. Ray, you're 14.
Yeah.
You're pretty heavily influenced by Blues Image?
Yes.
Yeah, you know Blues Image.
Uh-huh.
Wait, name a song they sing.
Ride, Captain Ride.
That's right.
There you go,
Kid's
Ray.
14. Kid was born 22 years after Blues Image broke up. No, they reformed and then broke
he's
up.
He's still
on
top.
And then 22 years went by, and then Ray was born, but he still knows Ride, Captain Ride. All right, let's ride into a commercial. What do you say? That's good
drop
radio.
Trail,
that's good radio. Yeah, before I got a drop trial.
Good radio.
All right, everybody, that's the show. What do you know? I want to thank Jim Brewer for being in here. Is it Thursday night?
Is it Thursday?
Yeah, that's it.
It's Thursday. Wow.
All right. Hey, Mighty Mighty Boston's coming in next week. And
nice.
David Allen Greer amongst others.
Logue.
David's funny.
Guy from Grounded for Man.
I didn't see that. Come on.
He's the lead of the Grounded for Life. You don't watch that show?
No one knows it.
Absolutely.
Donald Logue?
That is a very popular show right now.
All right.
You'll recognize him when he comes in.
All right. Don't tell him I said this. And Anderson, don't play this for me.
It's already recorded, man.
Idiots. All right. Take a look. Now we got to go out on that note. That's the note? Well, let's do a retake on that.
All right, Jim Brewer.
Donald Logue. Oh, yeah, big fan.
Excellent.
Big fan.
Can't wait.
I love that.
Number one show, isn't it?
Number one show. Jim Brewer, everyone. Who's Jim Brewer? He's on Grounded for Life,
goat
too.
Goat man.
All right. It's Goat Boy.
Donkey guy.
How dare you. Let's take a little extendo breako. Smoke and Brew is the name of the CD. Thanks, Jim, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to meet you. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Let's have some pork chops, some beer, and fish your wife. Who's in?
This has been Loveline. Opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.